have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, making marriage meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship Leadership Talk Live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
I was created for. I was created for. Whoa. I was created for. No, I believe in God. I was created for. Whoa. Bless your name.
Let's start somewhere. Let's see if Apostle Ventanelle Smith is in the house. Apostle Smith, are you with us today? Okay, we have no Apostle Smith
at the moment. So let's switch over. How about Brother and Sister Gabriel? Are you with us today?
The Gabriels are in the house.
Amen. So happy to have you in the house, as you would put it. We bless God for you and Sister Gabriel. How are you today, my dear Sister Gabriel?
Doing fine. Nice to hear from everyone.
Amen. All right, let us check and see also, how about Reverend Billy Gabriel? Have you made it into the podcast tonight? Okay, I don't hear any Billy Gabriel. Maybe you'll be joining us a little bit later. What about you, Brother Brandon? Have you made it in? Okay, no Brother Brandon.
Yes, sir. I'm here. Yes, sir.
All right.
I'm here.
All right.
Yes,
thank you so much for being part of us today. God bless you, sir.
Yes.
Happy to have you here. Let's do a little bit more checking. How about Apostle Felicia Flight? Have you come in? Okay. No Apostle Flight. I'm missing Brother Chuck Blackburn. Are you with us today?
In living color.
Nobody likes you. All right. I know today we're going to, in making marriage meaningful, I mean, there's so much that we could talk about today. Let's talk about the family. When you talk about making marriage meaningful, you have to make mention and talk about the family in particular. And I'm trying my best not to get too crazy, but I'm going to go to a subject that a lot of us, if I can get one of you to find me the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 21 through 30, I would be extremely excited. But before we do, I'm going to ask Lady Gabriel if you would pray us in, that you would offer prayer for us, and we're going to begin to explore Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 30.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening to thank you for another successful day among the land of the living. I want to bless everyone on this call tonight. Thank you for your input that you are going to contribute through your participation. We thank you, Lord, for the safety and the hedge that you put around our families and protect us from all hurt, harm, and danger. We pray tonight that we have a very good and rich session. And again, we pray for everyone on the phone. It's in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 30, and it's going to be from the Amplified Classic Version. I got glasses around here somewhere. Y'all know I always lay my glasses down, and then I spend half the day looking for them again. But this is what Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 21, says. It says, "Be subject one to another out of reverence for Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." It goes on to say, "Wives, be subject, be submissive, and adaptive yourselves to your own husband as a service to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church himself, the Savior of his body. As the church is subject to Christ, so let wives also be subject in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor without spot or wrinkle in any such things, that she might be holy. Even so, husbands should love their wives as being, in a sense, their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Now, verse 29, for no man has ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and carefully protects and cherishes it, as Christ does the church. Verse 30, finally, because we are members or parts of his body. I want to actually talk about Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, and I want to take for a subject, and I started something literally with my church, and I think this will be a good discussion here on radio. I've got a series entitled Guidelines to Family Survival. And when we look around in this day and age, we are finding the family being shredded by a myriad of things, by a multitude of things that's actually taking the family apart piece by piece. So what we are going to make the attempt to do today is to really basically try to set a precedent as we wait for the arrival of Apostle Whitlow to come and to spend the time with us. We've heard in the past few months, and I'm going to go this route, so you guys bear with me. It's going to be a short dissertation, and then we're going to go to the discussionary parts. Amen? Well, basically, in the past few months, we've basically have heard about mass shootings in schools and in grocery stores, hotels, in parks and at large gatherings such as conferences and concerts. And this unfortunate myriad of tragic events has, for me personally, caused me to wonder in my mind what has happened to the central entity that surrounds all of this pain and all of this senseless killing and hurting of one another. And I'm really talking about the family. And as I'm talking about the family, I am talking about marriage, meaningful marriage needed communication, needed a bond, needed something that was going to pull the family in general together. Now, let me say this, and then I'm going to begin. Among the worst tragedies in our time or in our era, in our day, is the progressive demise of the family as it's been traditionally known from days gone by. We now live in an era where it seems like sexual sin is exalted in so many different forms. Marital infidelity seems to be running rampant. Homosexuality has become something of an accepted lifestyle, while Christianity is looked upon and frowned as if it was some taking place. We've forgotten about the fact that we had two different women's liberation movements, which is it's hidden under the guise of various titles, and delinquency in the school system used to be a serious offense if a child would miss so many days from school, but now it's become acceptable, and children are being passed to the next grade just to make room for the incoming group for that particular grade so that the same process can be repeated over and over and over again. And please don't get me wrong. There are hundreds of thousands who are leaving schools with degrees, who are leaving schools with their diplomas, but there are yet still hundreds of thousands that have either succumbed to the prison system, to quitting because in their minds it's too difficult, dropping out because of pregnancy, or making themselves available to the sexual revolution through street prostitutions and things of that thing. We got things like gentlemen's clubs that are out there, and the porn industry seems to be running rampant. And folks, these are just a few of the things that are contributing to the demise of the family. Each one of these things that I've mentioned is serving as a strand or a string or a cord that is rapidly strangling the family structure. And I haven't even begun to talk about the LGBTQ. I can never say that thing right, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Gays and lesbians demanding the right to be married to each other. And many states are looking at these unions as something to be accepted, even though the Bible talks about it and says that it is an abomination before God. We've also got the issue where lesbian couples and some gay couples are bringing together children that were produced from former marriages, from heterosexual unions or one-night stands, and they're beginning to call that gathering a family. And still, we have multiple unmarried women that have decided to raise children by themselves without participation of the father. And in some cases, the father, even though the father wants to co-parent. These women are not permitting these men to be part of the lives of these children. And some men are finding out after the fact that that woman is pregnant, and they'll turn around and decide to demand that that woman either get an abortion. And I know we talked about abortion in our men's service earlier today, so I'm not going to get too far into that, because all this has to deal with marriage. And here it is in a nutshell. Whether you are married now, or you are divorced now, or you're thinking about getting married, you have all these things that are seemingly working against you. My question for you tonight, as we talk about mutual submission, is very simply this: can we all get along? Has it come to the point where husbands have to be dominant instead of having dominion? Has it come to the point and place where women have to usurp authority as opposed to being the submissive woman that God called them to be? What say ye? Let's start first and foremost with the Gabriels.
Well, I've talked to my husband many, many times and told him that our community needs to strengthen our family ties and also our Christian ties. You know, it mm-hmm. used to be that men would be the ones who would find a church for the family, and then we'd all go to church together. But it doesn't seem like the nuclear family is important anymore. And that's really where we need to start, with our own family or whoever we're living with, you know, nephews, cousins, because, you know, that's really the only family that you have any control over right now. Mm-hmm. And if you prepare them to go out into the world, then I know that that helps them to do better in school, on their jobs, with their relationships. But we do need to strengthen the family that way.
Okay. Now, Brother Brandon, anything you want to add? And then I'm going to come to you, Dr. Kimmy.
I'm sorry, I'm out and about and all that, but could you please repeat the question, please?
Well, I was asking the question, can we all get along? Meaning, can husbands and wives in this day and age, with all that I just mentioned, can we still get along? Can we still walk together? Can we still work together? Can we still continue to build the structure of the family? I mean, are we in this day and age where women are trying to usurp authority as opposed to being submissive, not because they're weaker, but because of the very fact that God has made the man the head of the family, and God has placed man as the head of the family? Can we all get along is the question I'm asking.
I think it starts with the parents of the female, because the parent always teaches the female that she has to be independent, she has to be dominant, she has to be a strong black woman. And I think that's the problem right there. So they grow up like that, and then they don't deal with situations in their life, and they get into a relationship, they got all these issues. We're not even talking about past relationships. We're talking about just issues in life, period. So then now you got to deal with that. And I think that's one of the issues. Well, I think we all get along, though. I think we can.
All right. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, what's on your mind?
Well, I still believe in marriage, and I believe that God formed marriage because it's a powerful union. And so when there is no structure built on the foundation of God, then that's the issue. And so worldly marriage is different from godly marriage. And so I really believe that could be one of the reasons. And I kind of agree with the last brother that, yeah, we do have the feminine group has taught a lot of the women to be independent. And then we also have, you know, these days where you have men, they want their woman to take care of them. They don't want to work. And so you have some women who don't mind. So that could be another reason too. But when it was form. It was form in essence that the woman submits to the man submits to God. And so I think that is one of the reasons why we are having issues, but I still believe in marriage.
Okay. And I'm happy you said that, but my question was, can we all get along even with all that's going on around us? And this becomes important. I'm not going to add too much more to it because I'm trying to keep the question short only because of the fact that I want everybody to have the opportunity and the chance to answer the question as we further this discussion. My question is, can husbands and wives still get along? I mean, there are some places I want to go tonight, but I want to establish that first. And then I want your reason why you think they can still get along, even though we're in the midst of all that I had made mention of. And I didn't put everything out there at once. I had to stop at a point so I could get your opinion. Can husbands and wives still get along? Can they mutually submit one to another? Can we do that?
Elder Richards, are the lines open because Reverend Billy's having a hard time getting on?
All right. Tell them to hang up and call back in again. Lines should be open.
Okay.
Just tell them to call to hang up and call back in again because all lines should be open.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, they are.
And while we are moving forward with that, let me throw some other facts out there, some other things that we're not paying attention to. And this does have something to do with making marriage meaningful. And I want to say God bless you, Strictly Business, and those of you who are on by way of TikTok. This is Making Marriage Meaningful. You can join us at 646-564-9842. You can actually call in if you have comments. If you desire to be live on the airwaves, I'm sitting in for Apostle Irvin Whitlow. You heard me mention the fact that some men want to co-parent and not allowed to do this. Some husbands who may have separated from their wives still want to be in the lives of their children, but because the bitterness that has developed between him and his spouse, he is not being allowed to see his children at a time when he needs to see them. And then there are those, and I'm talking single as well as married men, who after finding out that the woman is pregnant will demand that that woman either get an abortion or simply abandon, that he'll simply abandon the mother and the child with no regard for the well-being of either. And, you know, I'm often amazed at the fact that we can skillfully find our way into the woman's love tunnel by whatever means necessary, usually by lying and conniving and deceiving the woman, but we can't seem to find a way to open our wallets to provide support of the children and that you just produced. And in many situations where single parent families have been formulated, there is a growing concern that without proper parenting and guidance, with both parents being involved along with the assistance of the village, society may be forced to deal with higher levels of juvenile delinquency and eventually adult criminal behaviors that can have an ultimate effect on the overall safety and well-being of various communities. And when you look at the marriage, when you look at what's going on in the marriage, when there's turmoil, when there's chaos, when there's utter disruption in the marriage or in the unity of the marriage, when the scripture says in Ephesians to neither give place to the devil, we fail to realize sometimes when the enemy comes in, instead of us allowing the Spirit of the Lord like a flood to lift a standard against the enemy, some of us invite the enemy in and we find ourselves fighting with one another, bickering with one another and arguing with one another and constantly trying to pull one another down and treat one another like we might be some kind of commodity that just really doesn't exist. You know, and I'm going this route to get to the message, you know, can we all get along? I mean, I'm trying to understand what is the primary cause of marriages falling apart. What could be the primary cause? There are three areas that we can look at on this given day and in this given age. stage. You can look at communication, which becomes very pivotal, because if you're not communicating, if you're not spending time talking, A, number one, men to the Lord, and then to your wives, you've already broken down in the area of communication. We'll come back to that in a minute. The next one we got to deal with is sex. It seems like we not understanding what the scripture says concerning sex between a husband and a wife. And we're going to try to visit that in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians before we get off the airways. And the last area is money, which some would deem should be first and not last, when truth of the matter is it should be last. Because if you're not talking to your spouse, if you're not intimate with your spouse, you're not going to share with your spouse. Does anybody agree or disagree with what I just said? Am I losing y'all?
No, you're making it plain. You're making it plain.
Yeah, this is... Hello?
Go ahead, sir.
All right, this is Brother Otis Gabriel. You gave us a lot of information there. And I was writing down some of the questions that you had, you're asking, and we're talking about the getting along with the spouse and the man being the leader. That getting along and obeying, respecting the man of the house to be the leader of the house, it doesn't mean that he is being dominant and over the woman. It means he's taking a leadership role. Someone has to take the leadership role, and it seems as if the Bible has designated that particular position to the male in the house. So we as men must learn how to be helpful and beneficial in the decisions that we make. Often it's about even where we're going to live. And if we're going to live someplace where there's opportunities for employment, well, then that decision should not be overridden because someone doesn't want to move away from my mother, or I'm too far away, you know, from my family. Of course, we're going to live a better life there economically, but we'll, instead of living in the next block or in the same city, we'll be 500 plus miles away. So those are the kind of decisions. And sometimes people put too many emotions into a situation that should have a high percentage of being practical. So that is one thing that, you know, causes problems. And you mentioned several times about pregnancy, and we should spend more time talking to younger people about recreational sex that turns into procreation. Now, we are natural sexual creatures. Men and women, boys and girls have always and will always, as long as they live in the same world, began to have sex. And that age seems to be getting younger and younger. But there are too many adults right now saying that they don't want to talk to their children about sex, and their kids already having sex. So that is a hidden conversation, or a conversation that should be had in the home at a very early age, and that would prevent some of the unplanned pregnancies. So,
all right.
Again,
Gabriel,
we should take it to
right
the home.
There for a minute. Let me hold you right there for 1 minute. Reverend Billy, did you make it on?
No, he's still having problems.
Okay, Kimmy, I'm not sure what we can do about that.
There's no one on unmuted. Maybe he has the wrong number. Test to see if he has the right number.
Tell him 646-564-9842 is the number. 9842, 646-56. Text it to him so that he'll have it. Sometimes that can happen. And if we don't get him on, I can probably dial him from here and join him in on my call. Nonetheless, I had to hold you there for just a split second, sir, just to find out, because there are others who are on the line. Is there anybody else on the line that wants to have a comment on this? Because, you know, I want to get down to the subject of can we all get along? Can we talk about mutual submission and what that means in this day and in this age? Okay. I hear silence, which means that, and if they're trying to get off mute, if you get off mute, come on. Listen, let's do this. And I'm not trying to cut you off, Brother Gabriel, but I'm trying to keep the answers kind of condensed so that we have opportunity to respond and to discuss the very things that may be. But let me move here. When you look at Ephesians 5:21, it gives us a clue as to what God expects concerning basically family structure and men, what he expects us to do as husbands and the heads of our family. If we notice from chapter 5, the very first verse, we're actually instructed to be imitators of God. When you look at the passages in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, it helps us to understand that we are to copy the actions and behavior of God himself. And this isn't just for the men and the husbands. This is for the women and the wives. An imitator, basically, we all know, is somebody who copies what somebody else does or copies the way somebody else speaks and or behaves. And when we're talking about mutual submission, we need to understand a few things. And contrary to what many have taught over the days, weeks, months, and years, whether it was in a conference and a summit during a preaching service, leadership in the home really is not about power or control. Let me say that again. Leadership in the home is not about power or control. Neither is it about dominance, but it is about dominion. And when Paul talked about a request in Ephesians 5:21, he calls us men to be Christ-like figures. And if we were to examine just how Christ led the church, we discovered that he sufficiently provided for the church, that he sufficiently taught the church, that he sufficiently wept over the church, spent quality time praying for the church, and he took time to heal where healing needed to take place. And then on top of that, he made the ultimate sacrifice in giving his very life on a brutal cross for his bride, the church. What am I trying to say here? If we're going to get along, men, first and foremost, we have to understand that spiritual leadership does not mean usurp your way, have it your way. This is not Burger King, brothers. Spiritual leadership means giving up of yourself for the sake of someone else. Let me say that again. Spiritual leadership means not self. It doesn't mean you're taking care of you. It means that you're going to give up yourself for the sake of someone else. You have to understand it means you're going to assume responsibility for the overall health, the overall well-being, the overall development of your family relationships. And the very first place it needs to take place is with your partner for life. If you are married and you are listening to us from whatever radio outlet that you may be listening, or even if you're listening to us on TikTok, if you are married, It is time for you and your spouse to walk together in unity, to walk together in harmony. Amos turns around and says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You cannot get anything done in disagreement. You can't get anything done in disarray. You cannot allow, you can't make, nothing's going to happen for you that's going to make a in your life, in your family, and the way you live if you first and foremost are not taking the time to move together in the same direction with the same mind, with the same purpose. Does that make sense to anybody?
I like the way verse number 21 reads. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So
that's
if you
right.
read that, yeah, so if you read that, you really, it really puts you in the mind frame as though you're doing it to please God by, you know, treating your spouses a certain way, because the instructions are here about submitting to one another. And that's what I kind of saw with that.
Well, let me say this, and thank you for bringing that up, Lady Gabriel. Submitting, it's a key word, submitting one to another.
Right.
Now, here
it
lets you know that it is not just the wife submitting to her husband. It is actually the husband also submitting to his wife. She is the co-counsel that helps to run that family. And when you run roughshod over her suggestions, when you run roughshod over what she may have to say concerning the overall well-being of the family, you basically kick to the curb anything that she may bring to the table that may be relevant. That you are doing, in essence, you're making yourself an island to yourself. It's as if you're saying to her, I'm the HNIC in this house. Don't you tell me what to do. That, to my friends, is poor communication. And see, anybody that has a brain in their head knows that anybody that's going to be great must first become servant of all. And this is where it shows husbands whether or not you are understanding what it means to be in servitude. Yes, you're called to be the prophet. Yes, you're called to be the priest. Yes. You're called to be the king. But if you look at the prophet, the priest, and the king, those are all servant roles, every last one of them. It's a servant's role, meaning you are slave to the individuals to whom you serve. Now, I know you don't like the word slave, but let's just say it just like it is. You want your wife to submit to you. If you're not walking in the admonition of the Lord, if you're not taking the initiative or taking the ability to assess your situations and circumstances concerning your marriage and your family, if you're not taking charge, meaning you're giving direction and you're taking responsibility for your primary relationship, which is to your wife, and then turning around and communicating with your wife on what's the best approach to handle little Junior who might be failing in school, and you got to figure out how to get his grades from a D- to at least a B+. Come on here now. You can't be arguing about genius. Stop calling the little boy dumb. He ain't dumb. You just haven't taken the time to communicate to him what's needed and necessary for him to develop and to move forward. And this is where you submit yourself one to another. I don't want to stay on the subject of sex all the time because it's more than just sex. Communication is every aspect of living that you and your spouse have to deal with. Remember I said earlier in the book of Amos, I believe it's chapter 3 and verse 5, it said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You cannot walk side by side with your spouse. And men, let me say this while I'm thinking about it, your wife is not your carpet. Your wife is not your floor mat. Your wife is not your sidewalk. Your wife is not some place to wipe your feet off on. Your wife is not somebody that you badger and belittle and throw under the bus and make feel useless. That is the other side of you that you can clearly see, touch, and feel. we need to see it for that, for what it actually is. Any comment? Well,
I think a relationship like that could be like an example of a dance partner. You know, if you do like a hand dance, you have to have one person to be the leader. It doesn't, you know, change the relationship too much of the other person, but you can't have two leaders.
And I agree with you. I'm not going to say, you know, you're exactly right. Now, I'm going to show you something. I learned this a few years ago. Have you ever looked at the word guidance? Can somebody spell the word guidance for me? And I need everybody that's on the line to participate. Somebody spell the word guidance for me.
Is that G-U-I-D-A-N-C-E? Guidance?
Let's take it apart. Okay? Right. And a friend of mine and I, while we were sitting talking about the word, God dropped this in our spirit. We want guidance from God. Is that yes or no? We want God's guidance.
It seems as if to me, by just saying the word and looking at the letters, it's like there's a U and an I and dancing.
Thank you.
That's what I thought.
Keep going.
In the word guidance.
Yeah. We're saying in essence, God, you, and I dance.
Yes.
We're letting God lead. And this is the way it needs to be in marriage. Women, let your husband lead if he's in Christ. If he's not in Christ, live a life in his presence that he would want to know who Jesus is. God is waiting to guide you, to guard, just to show you the way to go. God wants to dance with each and every one of us in our marriages. And see, there's another scripture in the book of Proverbs that says that that a three-strand cord is not easily broken. And when Jesus Christ is the center of your marriage, you got to understand there is going to be a level of intimacy that you will experience in God with your spouse. You experience intimacy with God in your private time, in your corporate time of prayer. You experience the intimacy of God when you're sitting down and having conversations with your children. You experience the intimacy of God when you begin to talk to your spouse about him. And while you're experiencing that intimacy, there is a level of influence that comes as a result of that intimate relationship because you allow the guidance of God. I'm talking to the brothers right now. Because you allow the guidance of God to take you where you needed to be. You start exercising biblical influence. You begin to encourage other people and develop other people, and you use biblical principles to help other people better understand how this marriage things work. There are at least 100,000 books written on marriage, and no one book is exactly right, but the one book that has it right is this word. And when you look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, be subject one to another out of reverence, the reverential fear of the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing what it is that Jesus has done for you and what he has done for me and how God is the establisher and the originator of the family. We have a responsibility to walk according to this word. Disorder, distortion, disruption, none of this should be part of our living. Yeah, I know we're going to deal with issues. We're going to deal with problems. We're going to deal with situations. We're going to deal with circumstances. We are going to find ourselves in a position where sometimes our partner seems to be a bit difficult and hard to deal with. That's not the case with everybody, because over a period of time, as your relationship with your spouse matures, you kind of understand and learn who they are and what it is that makes them tick. And so what you're now trying to do is make adjustments so that you can, A, number one, be in line with the word of God, and number two, let your partner know that you're in this for the long haul. Does that make any sense to anybody?
Yes, God teaches you how to have personal power.
Okay.
And you can have personal power without having to be the leader. And that's what women normally have, is just personal power, especially if you let your husband be head of the household.
Well, a lot of men don't see that, because when they see, and I'm not playing the devil's advocate. I'm going to throw something out there, because I've done some counseling, have heard these things, you know, where the man has said, I start doing something and she'll come and undermine me, and she'll go behind me and undo what I already did. And that personal power does have an effect. It can be both positive and negative. And in the positive, when it's to help and to benefit, it pushes you that much further up to where you need to be. But when it's in the negative, it's usually an emasculation of that husband, making him feel less than what he is. And this is not the purpose or the plan of God when it comes down to this kind of thing. God is looking for us to move forward in some things. And, you know, we can't still be in baby steps. You know, we can't walk in baby steps. We have to somewhere down the line begin to mature and allow God's presence to empower us as we move forward. I like what you said about the personal power, but we have to be careful.
No, I was thinking about it in a positive sense, as far as support.
Were.
Yeah. No, I wasn't thinking about as far as undermining or, you know, being disrespectful to your husband or anything.
And I deeply appreciate that. The truth of the matter is, you know, we have to look at both sides, because if we get to a point in place where we look at one side and not the other, we'll be blindsided by the other. And I respect your bringing the positive on the side, but I put the negative in, because let's be real. In real life, we have people who are dealing with situations. I mean, an abusive wife doesn't become an abusive wife just because she wants to be an abused wife. Would everybody agree with that? Something has to trigger that abuse. And now we have
I think if you have more positive influence in the relationship, you won't be a victim of abuse.
Well, I'm going to not challenge what you're saying, but I'm going to show you something. And this, I counseled a couple like this a few years ago. She was very positive, very upbeat, loved the Lord, always talked about Jesus. But the husband had a jealous streak, an envious streak in him. And it started out, he was verbally assaulting her, and then began to physically abuse her. And I see my dear friend Ramils, that's not always true. I understand what she's saying. I think she's responding to what you just said, Lady Gabriel. But this person began to physically abuse his own spouse, would beat her for no reason at all. But at the same time, he used to get drunk. And when he'd come in, he, instead of looking to be intimate with his wife, or he tried to get intimate with her, and she'd push him off because she didn't like the smell of alcohol, and then he'd get mad. Now he wants to fight. So I hear you on the positive, but for those who are going through the negative, my next question is, what can we say and or do to help those individuals overcome those areas? I know the first thing we want to say is leave. Okay, so basically all you did was extract yourself from a bad situation. But what if you're one of those that believes that God can change your spouse? I mean, it's a dangerous thing to stay in that situation. Come on and talk to me, y'all.
Okay, if no one's going to respond, listen.
Well, I don't think God needs to change your spouse if he has joined you together. Because what it says is that if God join you together, let no man put you asunder. But now, if we have joined ourselves together, independent of God, then yeah, we might need some help there. But if God has joined us together, then we can do the time. You can do the time and do it with gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anybody else?
Yes, I have some suggestions. We are all familiar with the situation that we are, you know, talking about
at this particular time. And the men, most of the time, do not just become abusive after, say, 5-10 years of marriage. Is they give people give indications of how they are going to be in a relationship after a short period of time. Too often, the female or the one who is going to be abused is too enamored just with the situation, not even necessarily with the person. They said, I'm 27 and I should be married, and he's not that way all the time, but sometimes he does kind of push me, or his temper seems to snap and he yells at me, but they don't consciously state it, said, but I'm going to ignore that, because when he's not drinking, then he's all right. Well, how often does he drink? And you can expect that particular errant type of behavior to accelerate during the relationship, and it gets worse and worse. So we should have more formats like we're having right now to recognize these particular symptoms in potential spouses. Is you want to spend the rest of your life hoping that your husband stops drinking or getting angry because he feels inadequate on his job and weak on his job, but coming home and feeling dominant? So there was a statement I heard this morning that I think we should employ in our conversation, and it said that people just have a natural tendency to want to dominate. And so since that is true, many times at home is where that person only has power, and then they begin to exercise it, you know, inappropriately. So education, talking to people at an early age about symptoms of abuse in a house would prevent many people from being abused by their spouse, because they would not even continue to go. That was it's the last thing. There was a couple getting married. They argued the night before the wedding, pre-wedding. He beat her up so bad the night before the wedding that she had to try to hide the scars on her face with makeup. But they had rented the hall. The preacher was ready and all this stuff. And she said that's why she went on with the marriage, is because they had spent so much money, even though she's beaten half to death the night before the wedding. So that's what we have to take a look at. And I do believe in optimism over pessimism.
Yeah, let me share some things with you. Here on TikTok, one of our viewers is saying, abuse comes from childhood, from things that they saw when they grew up, and it's a learned behavior. This same individual goes on to say they show affection the way they saw affection. And, you know, I kind of understand what she's saying right there, because it's an amazing thing. You made mention of the individual beating up his soon-to-be wife. Well, how long are we going to, first of all, make excuses for those spouses who are feeling insecure? I guess I have to use that word for lack of a better word. And then my other question is, why are we not paying attention to the telltale signs that says get away from that relationship? I mean, you're walking down the aisle because of, you know, you spent so much money.
There you go.
How rather you lose the money than lose your life, personally? Because, I mean, some of these situations, have resulted in death for the wife, and in some cases, death for the husband, because the wife gets so fed up with the foolishness until she retaliates. But what I'm trying to get to tonight is basically, when we talk about mutual submission, what does that entail? What does that entail when we talk about mutual submission? Talk to me. All right. Seems like everybody's gone to sleep tonight. What's going on, people?
Matter of fact, I think my wife mentioned that before about mutual submission, is that the woman, there are many areas in a marriage where the woman has the advantage. And following her leadership in those areas and the man being submissive to that would make the marriage better. For example, in my marriage, I earn the money, a lot of money, and my wife does all of the administrative work. She is better at that. She worked as a librarian for 30 years. So she knows about details. I am not good at administrative, but I am good at earning money and making decisions. Practicality. I'm considered a pragmatic. I don't put many emotions into the decisions about what is going to be good for this family. It is also, this will be helpful, this will be beneficial, this will help us to do this. And so that is the way I look at life. And my wife, she's a little bit emotional, but when I begin to show her and tell her about things that's going to be an advantage to the two of us and our children and our extended family, well, she listens. And when she begins to do the business, administrative part, I listen. So that is mutual understanding and being mutually, what's called obedient and submissive to one another.
All right. And I heard what you said. Now, does the woman really have an advantage? I'm going to show you something, and a lot of us may have missed this. I've said this before, and you guys have heard this before. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, we seem to be missing you today. I'm waiting for you to jump in and share whatever it is you want to share. I'm not going to have to keep calling you. So when you decide to join us, go right ahead. I appreciate it. But basically, what I'm looking at, we men, of course, we're headliners. You know, we see the big picture. The women have always been able to see the detail, but does she really have an advantage? No, because I'm going to show you something. And again, this is one of those situations, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again this time for I don't know how many times. If a man goes out and buys groceries, that woman has the ability to turn those groceries into a meal. If a man goes out and buys a house, and I know in this day and age, there are women buying their own houses. I get it. But let me use this analogy to show you the difference between us men and women. A man could go out and buy a house. That woman knows how to make that house a home.
Amen.
If a man comes home and he raises sand with his woman day in and day out, then all that man given for that woman to work with is the hell that he's put her through. And she's just going to reciprocate the same hell that he put her through. So he can look for a hard time and a difficult way to go because he has pushed his spouse, his other half, into a position where she is now retaliating as opposed to reciprocating. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yes, of course.
Well, if you respect the relationship and you love your spouse, you're going to try to get some help for him, first of all. You know, if he's an alcoholic or if he's, you know, addicted to drugs or whatever his problem is, that would be the first thing I would suggest, you know, instead of retaliating, because evidently, you know, he's not the same person that you married. Something has happened in the relationship. You know, it could be pressure on the job, and he's coming home and ventilating and, you know, just unhappy. So if you can, you know, get him some professional help, or, you know, if he's not a violent type person, he might just need a listening ear.
All right. Well, let me throw this out there because you did bring it up. And, of course, I'm not going to the negative side, but I'm just going to it's not really a reality, but it's something that happens more often than not. This individual, the man in particular, because men are sort of kind of prideful to a certain degree, and when you suggest that they go get help, the first thing they're going to say to you in so many words is, I'm all right. It's the rest of the world that needs help. In other words, I'm not going to waste time, effort, and energy going to do something that I don't think I necessarily need. And you're right. We should go get help. If we love them, we will have, they'll go get help. But it's, I wish it were that simple. I wish it were that easy. I wish it were that matter of fact. But sometimes it takes a little something for that man to realize, or even in some cases that woman, to realize she needs help. You know? Sometimes we're blind to our own shortcomings. I don't know why. I don't understand why. But the truth of the matter is we are sometimes blinded to our own shortcomings. And so our marriages in this day and age tend to go through end up getting scuffed and end up getting battered and bruised and beaten. And I'm not talking about the individual. I'm talking about the relationship, because one, if not, or the other has a strong desire not to go out and find the needed and the necessary help. So here's one more question, and I'm not going to be too much longer tonight. I was thinking Apostle Whitlow would join us tonight. Apparently he's not going to make it. But my last question, well, not my last question, but my next to the last question, and this one goes toward everybody, and I'm asking everybody, including you, Madam Producer, open your mics. What about the children? For those marriages that have innocent children in them, children who have to sit there and have to look at the abuse, children who have to sit there and hear the arguments, children who may have to sit there and witness the fights, what about the children? Are they not emotionally scarred watching these things, hearing these things, experiencing these things?
Yes, they are. That's why it's important that when you have a disagreement, you don't fuss in front of them, and
thank you.
You try to act accordingly. So everything that you do in front of the children is a reflection of how they would be. And so that's why it's important that you know how to argue, but with respect on both ends. I mean, compromising and disagreements will happen in a marriage, but it's how you do it. So, and I'll yield the mic.
Okay, anybody else?
Yes, of course the children are adversely impacted, you know, by the parents fighting in the house. And we mentioned that the combination of alcohol involved in that. So now, whatever rules and ethics in the home that were discussed earlier are just null and void, because that alcohol has a disinhibiting effect on most people. And not only will the wife be subject to abuse, but the children also, by just standing there watching and asking, what are you looking at? They get slapped upside the head. So, yes, the children are negatively impacted by the behavior in the home. And that thing about, you know, we try to, sometimes people try to, and many people do, try to shield the children from their arguments, but as soon as the volume goes up, the house is, you know, is not that big. You know, living in a mansion and the children living on the other side of the wing is there right in the next room, just listening to all of that. So the best thing to do is just try to eliminate it. and trying to hide it is good, but if there are arguments, the children have heard it. If there's fighting, they have definitely heard it. So that's what we have to try to consider our family. And we men, you know, should take a look at that, but there should be more discussions about getting married to a person who has shown signs that he will and has been abusive. And we know what the signs are. They're posted everywhere. The people, the sociologists can give you that list. And many women have five things out of five checked off, and they still continue to go into the marriage because they feel that, one lady said, at least I'm married. Wait a minute. You mean you're going to take all of that just to say, at least I'm married? You know? And that's how much being married meant to her. It's because some of her girlfriends her age were not married. So that's some real crazy, you know, crazy situation for women to continue to move forward when they know they're going to be abused.
But I thought we believe that.
I have another comment. It says sometimes the other person does care and tell the children, don't you move. They have no choice. And I understand what's being said there. She says also, make sure you are evenly yoked. And that is another challenge because in the dating stages before marriage, you should be able to tell if you are evenly yoked. And evenly yoked does not mean because I'm a pastor, you should be a pastor. That's not evenly yoked. Evenly yoked is when you are compatible, one with another and can see each other's flaws but easily work with and around said flaws because we're not all, some of us think we're the sharpest knife in the drawer. You're not necessarily the sharpest knife in the drawer. You're a knife and you can still cut but not be the sharpest. But the main thing is we all have shortcomings and things of that nature. And all I'm trying to point out here is we talk about can we all get along. Are we willing to deal with the baggage that comes with our spouse? We have to recognize and realize that when you say to love, to have and to hold, till death do you part, it doesn't mean you kill her or you kill him. It means till the Lord calls one of you, if not both of you, home. And so, in closing, I'm going to bring this thing in. Learning how to be subjected to one another simply means men taking your role as the prophet, priest, and king, and women taking your role as one called alongside to help, to assist, to make sure that everything works in its proper order. Not to take over, but to make sure that together you rest, rule, reign while God abides. Any final comments before we bring this to a close?
As you're bringing it to a close, what is God's role in these toxic situations?
Well, God's role in this toxic situation is to get you to obey Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, which crystal clear says, be ye therefore imitators of God, and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. That's God's role in this whole thing. And if God can't get you to imitate him, who is God? What is God? You can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and read the attributes of God, the characteristics of God. You can come to understand God's characteristics in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And if you can copy those characteristics, if you can imitate those characteristics, you'll actually be walking in the literal nature of God himself. And the negativity that we mentioned tonight would go out the window. I believe that. Any other comments? None? Well, all right. We're getting ready to close. I'm Bishop Ernest D. Richard, Jr. I'm sitting in Apostle Irvin Whitlow. I want to thank you, the listening audience, for tuning in today and being part of our podcast. thank our good friend Jerry Price, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker Radio. We want to thank those of you who are listening by way of iHeartRadio, by way of Spotify, Elations, and any other outlet that you may be listening. Special thanks to my good friends here at TikTok, who have come in and have made themselves comfortable. We pray that something has been said to be a blessing to you. Thank you for your participation. I don't know where else you may be listening, but wherever you are, why don't you take a moment to write, go to the pastor's corner and let us know that you're listening to the show and let us know what you think about the show. Also, go to Elations Magazine, the Facebook page, and leave a comment where, you know, let us know what you're thinking and what can we do to make our programming even better. I want to invite you to come and join us. TikTok, we will be here at 12 noon at this coming Sunday. Power to Stand Outreach Ministries will air their normal Sunday service. You are welcome to be here. Those of you that are listening by radio, we will give you the designated time when it will come over the Elation radio airwaves. We're going to stack that time. It used to be 4 o'clock. It may have changed because of other things, but we'll get that information to you ASAP so you can begin to join in with us. We're actually in a family series right now. As I said, I was sharing the investigation. This coming Sunday, the 25th or the 26th of June, this coming Sunday, we're going to make mention of the Roe versus Wade verdict that just came out. And here's what we are actually talk about. I can tell you what the topic is. You know, we're going to talk about life. Where does it begin? And that's what the subject is going to be, life. Where does it begin? I want to show you some things in Scripture where God tells us where life begins. So those of you who are pro-choice, please come and join us. Those of you who are pro-life, I expect to see you, and I believe God is going to minister to us. I'm not taking sides on this. I'm just going to share what the Scripture says, and only what the Scripture says. I'm not interested in opinions, in philosophies, not in ideologies. I want to talk from the pure perspective of the Word. So that's where we're going to teach from. I want to thank Father for giving me the opportunity to host a wonderful show today. I pray that I've done you some justice. I pray that something was shared with you, that you, I see Secret Escape come in the room. God bless you, my dear sister. I'm just delighted that he allowed me to do this. We bid him Godspeed as he makes his way back home to be in service, to be in service with the church that he is playing for and has played for. Until next Saturday for Making Marriage Meaningful, Bishop E. Richard Jr. saying, may the peace of God continuously be with you. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, with all due respect, asking you to start the music. God bless you all.
In the process, right before you start the process, I'd like to make an announcement, quick announcement, and that is in 1965, I made commitments to the woman upstairs that I would be with her until death do us part. So she's still here and I'm still here. 1965, I made that commitment to her. So
wow.
That was on June the 12th. So thank you.
You got close to 60 years in. You got, as a matter of fact, you got 64, 63 years in. God bless you.
To God be the glory.
To God be the glory is correct. We got to talk about longevity one of these weeks, Brother Chuck. So you make sure you come back next week. Kimmy Kim,
okay.
It's music.